This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. A friend recently sent me a Facebook Messenger video, and in the video, it chronicled a person's dream from a prior night. The one who shared in the story of the dream said that he had gone to heaven in the night before, and as he approached the thrones, he was invited by an angel to take a tour of the heavenly realm. He said he journeyed down a long corridor, and they came to a room, and in the room was a busyness of angels like he could only imagine what could take place in heaven. He said they were scurrying about from one end to the other, working, writing, reading, receiving requests from earth. You see, the angel explained that this was the receiving room of heaven, where prayers were written and proclaimed and reached up to the highest heights of our Lord's grace. They moved along the corridor and came to another room. After they'd left the receiving room, they reached the distribution room. The angels there were also busily working. They were delivering the answers, the responses, the comfort, the grace, and the love of heaven. As they finished visiting the distribution room and all the busyness of the angels in receiving prayers and delivering answers through God's grace, they went to one final room, and there was only one angel. He looked very calm, unhurried, with little work to do. And the one in the dream asked the angel, "Why is there only one angel here and what is he doing?" To that the angel replied, "This is the room of acknowledgement. When those on earth are blessed by God and receive the comfort and reassurance of their prayers being answered in heaven, this is where we receive their acknowledgments, their gratitude." Unfortunately, the angel said, we on earth are more often to ask and to seek blessing than to count them because of God's grace to us. You know, when we think of that story, my friend that sent it also shared how the angel instructed the person in the dream how to count blessings. What are the blessings that we often overlook? As we think about it, the words of the video that I saw, the angel said, there are 75% of people on this earth that don't have a home to live in, plenty of food to eat, and family who loves and cares for them. If we are a part of those who have a home, have food, have the blessings of good health, we are in a small minority of all people on earth. He shared how less than 1% of the earth's population can even read this video as we're receiving it together. You see, friends, the blessings of heaven are all around us. If we will have spirits to count those blessings and embrace with gratitude what God does for us daily. In our scripture that I shared with you earlier, I'm grateful for the words that end our text. The word blessing is heard three times as we see and hear in our visual hearts the exchange of Jesus with his disciples as he's preparing to leave his earthly ministry, and the disciples will continue his ministry on earth. Our scripture tells us that he led them out, and the last gift our Lord Jesus left to his disciples was a blessing. And then the disciples returned, blessing God themselves. You see, I'm grateful that message says to us, friends, we indeed have a God of blessings, a God who gives and cares and loves. You see, that's what it means to be blessed. A blessing doesn't mean we always get what we want materially. We always get our prayers answered exactly how we want and when we want. Blessing doesn't mean so much material, financial, or even physical prosperity. Blessings, dear friend, are God's holy love for us as His children. Wow. Now that's a blessing that will comfort us and sustain us no matter what we face in life. You see, just as Jesus offered that blessing to His disciples as they were to begin their ministry, God blesses us with that gracious love and acceptance. Then the question maybe rises to us, how do we bless God? We simply return that love. We do what God has done for us. Have you ever had a family member or a dear friend who was so gracious to you with a great gift that you could never repay? But the only thing you could do was express your gratitude. And ultimately, through their love, through genuine friendship and family, that's all they wanted in return was your affection, your love, your gratitude for the relationship you have. You see, our God is no different. And in a far greater way, God's blessed when we love our Lord and with gratitude express our same affection in every way we can. That's what it means, I think, in our scripture today, that as God blesses us, we bless the Lord with our love, with our affection, with our gratitude. You'll remember with me that over the last few weeks, we've journeyed through our life of faith, how we celebrated that salvation comes simply as a gift from God. There's nothing we do to earn or deserve life and love from God eternal. And then last week we talked about, although salvation is a gift, we want to live out our faith. We want to live in love because then we know the joy of our salvation even now. You see, there's consequences to our behavior, to our relationships on earth, even if it doesn't amount to our salvation, because that's a gift from God. We know the gift of living in God's love even now and the joy of the walk of faith. You know, our scripture tells us that one of the greatest blessings is God's love on earth, but the greatest blessing is the gift of Christ's life for us. Did you hear it in our text today? That Jesus, as He's about to ascend and leave His disciples, as He offers His blessing, He reminds them once more that the Messiah, the Son of God, the Savior of all creation, suffered sin for all of us, that we may be restored of sin forever. He gave His very life that we may have life and have it in abundance. Scripture tells us there's no greater gift than for one to lay down their life for a friend. On this Memorial Day weekend, we too are especially mindful of those who paid the ultimate sacrifice for their country, for their people, but most of all, for their family. Last evening, I watched the movie 1917, where it chronicled the World War I journey of two individuals who were commissioned to go and warn an entire battalion of the army that 1,600 troops were walking into a trap. But most importantly, to one of those two commissioned, of those 1,600, one of the soldiers in that group was his brother. that was the reason the general chose this one. Because as much as he knew he wanted to live for the 1600, most intimately, he wanted to rescue his brother. I've heard that those who've served in war, that's the commission that often fuels their desire to defend and protect our freedom. It's not the millions, and certainly that's part of their commission, but it's the one or two intimate family members that they serve for and defend, whose love and freedom that they cherish the most. Friends, may we understand that God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, looks at each of us individually as that precious family member, willing and worthy to risk life and limb for. You see, the purpose for Jesus having to endure suffering for our sake is because we desire, as imperfect people, to dwell in a perfect heaven forever. But through our brokenness, our imperfection, we can't go to a perfect place unless our imperfection is overcome. You see, that's how Jesus turned it upside down. How, although he lived a perfect life, he suffered the consequences of imperfection and conquered those consequences forever, so we may have life, love, and joy with him in heaven. That's the gift. You see, we in this world are going to know the consequences of brokenness. Just the other evening, we were spending time with our little grandniece, Lucy. And Lucy was given a choice by our mom. She said, "Lucy, you need to take a nap. If you take a nap, you'll feel better. If you take a nap, we'll all feel better. And if you take a nap, you'll get to spend the night with Mimi tonight." But ultimately, her mom said this, "Lucy, the choice is yours. I hope you'll do what's best for you." Wow. Do you understand that our God's love works like that, even in a far greater capacity? God yearns for us to live in love, to reject walking away and doing things that will make us tiring of faith, much worse than skipping a nap. But ultimately, the choice is ours. We have consequences when we turn from the ways of God. But God ultimately, through his grace, conquered those consequences in heaven when Jesus Christ embodied our brokenness forever. So friends, may we remember on this day to count our blessings. You'll remember that as I shared, the gift of life through Christ is salvation. But yet we know more joy when we live out our salvation in love. Well, friends, the other component of what we do with our faith is we live out our love through worship. You see, that's what it means to bless God, as I shared. I want to leave you with one final analogy today that I hope you'll hold on to in your journey of life. And let me talk very intimately and passionately with you this morning. If you're going through some tough times, perhaps depression or stress, overwork, burdens in your personal life or family life, perhaps professionally you're burning out. And if I ask you today if there is room for more joy, I'm sure your answer is yes. Will you hold on to this little example of how you can reclaim the joy found in the cross of Calvary? Think of the imagery of the cross when you're yearning for more joy. In the cross, we're reminded that Jesus Christ loved us so much and loves us so much that he sacrificed that we may be children of God forever. And then, dear friends, as we count that greatest blessing, may we do something with our faith. The cross is also a reminder of how to practice our faith. Here's what I mean. Just as it is a symbol of what Christ has done for us, it symbolizes what we should do for the world. This beam of the cross, the horizontal beam, reminds us to live and love others, to share what we've received with those all around us. When we practice our love, friends, we know more joy and we are separated more from the stressors and depressions of life. But also, and more importantly than the horizontal beam of the cross, is the vertical beam of the cross. And that symbolizes the relationship we have with the one on high, our love we give to God. You see, we give our God love, as I said earlier, by worshiping and counting our blessings. Friends, what I found in my journey, when the stressors of life are overwhelming and depression is knocking at the door, when I think to the cross of Christ's sacrifice for me and His call for me to live in love for others and His call for me to worship and love the Father above, I find the joy of my salvation in loving God's children and worshiping my Father in heaven. I pray that you find that same joy as you practice your faith daily and celebrate the blessings life of God. Would you pray with me? God, we thank you for this day that you've made, this day of worship and restoration, this day to renew ourselves in your grace that is fresh each morning. We pray as we celebrate your words of life, your guidance upon the ministry of your church, regardless of denomination or location. Wherever your gospel is practiced and proclaimed, will you inspire and empower your people in ministry? We pray, O Lord, for our nation. We do remember with gratitude on this Memorial Day weekend those who paid the ultimate sacrifice for our liberty, for our freedom as the United States of America. We cherish this land that we call our home, not because we are perfect, but because we rely most of all in your grace to sustain us and serve the world around us to your glory. We ask you to be with our president, our Senate, the Congress, the Supreme Court. We do pray for our military. We pray for those who defend our freedom and serve on our behalf. We ask you to conquer this coronavirus. Continue to bring healing and wholeness and wisdom to those with the power and resources and the intellect to bring a cure to this pandemic. We pray, Lord, for the sick, the hurting, those who are on our hearts this day most of all. We lift up every name that's been typed here for our prayer list today. And we also pray for those who are written on our heart. We have friends and family who have special needs this day. Will you receive right now, God, the prayers that we pray together for one another and with one another? And if it can be in accordance with your holy will, to open the floodgates of heaven and pour miracles of grace into these questions, we praise you and give thanks. We pray for our friends and family, those you've entrusted us to minister to most of all. We pray for those from whom we're estranged, maybe even our enemies. And now, God, we pray for ourselves as individuals. You've called us to live out our love to the world around us and live out our worship to you. Will you inspire us to be your light and love in this world, that we may proclaim your goodness and glory now and forever? And now, God, we end with saying the words in prayer you taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. And now, friends, I offer you one final blessing. That the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift his countenance, his gaze upon you, and give you peace, now and forever. Amen.